The title of the message today is Godly Marriage, and I hope that you have a big ear today because I want you to hear from God's Word today. Hear me in this. I know that in preaching this message, there are different ideas of marriage, and I want you to know this. We need to have an understanding from a biblical view. I also know that there are several of you in the room that are not married. Some of you are single and have never been married. Some of you have been divorced and are single. Some of you are divorced and remarried. Some of you are too young to be married and you need to wait to be married. Some of you have been married to the same individual for many, many years, or maybe even a couple of months. Some of you were married, and now you remember the memories that have gone by because of your spouse passing on. Some of you long to be married. Some of you don't care to be married. But here's what I think that we need to grab from the scripture today. It says that marriage should be honored among all. And so if you're not married today, you might be one in the room that says, you know what, I'm glad that I'm not married because this message has nothing to do with me. And those of you who are married, you're like, oh, great. I hope we have a good dinner conversation here today. I just want to open God's Word, and I want you to hear God's Word of what it has for us. And I think everybody in this room can grab something from this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hear these words from God's Word. It's on the Bible in front of you in a chair rack underneath of 1009, the page, if you'd like to follow along, or you can follow along behind. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. I think the first thing we have to understand is this. What is marriage? We have to identify this for today's culture. So I want to go back to the very beginning, if you will. I want to go back to the very beginning of day six of creation. God determined to make an individual that he called man. And he gave that man a name by the name of Adam. And then in Genesis 2:18, God says it's not good for man to be alone. And so he says, I'm going to make a helper fit for him. The helper that God made, that God instituted, God designed a female. Now that female's name was Eve. I know that I'm giving this to you and some of you are like, well, I get this. And I wanted to say this. They were the first married couple. Now, I want you to understand this. There was no official ceremony where they stood at a married altar and God said, and now I pronounce you man and wife. He said, here's a man, here's a woman, and that is the first marriage between one man and one woman. There's a concept today that is among us that marriage can be whatever we want it to be. It's been redefined in recent days. I disagree with that. If you look from the beginning, marriage was between man and woman. Now, hear me in this. If people don't have a biblical set of views, then why would they adhere to the biblical set of views? And so that's where a rub what we have in our culture is that there's not a biblical set of views. There's not a biblical mandate. You in the church would say there is a biblical mandate. God created the heavens and the earth. It didn't just bang into being. And so because of that, you understand this. Very biologically speaking, and I know we have young ears in the room, but I'll say this. You need a man and a woman for offspring to be formed. It's a proven fact. It can happen in no other way. God designed it that way. Male and female create offspring. Now, I know this. I know not every married couple can and does have children, but if God wanted something different, then he would have set it up that way, but he didn't. Thus, marriage is between one man and one woman. That is marriage. Let me repeat something from the Wesleyan Church. Here's what it says. God's plan for human sexuality is expressed only in a monogamous, lifelong relationship between one man and one woman within the framework of marriage. God's original design An ongoing design is for one man and one woman to be married together. Now, some would say, boy, what are you doing here, Pastor Steve? I'm just merely saying this is what the Word of God says. And we have to say yes to the Word of God, or we have to say no to the Word of God in our lives. Well, the culture says something different. I agree with you. Sometimes the culture does say something different. However, God's standard says what we should live by, I believe. For instance, the state says that I can gamble. And when I go and I buy my wife my 74-cent cappuccino that she loves at the gas station, I could choose to go to that counter and say, give me a dollar of whatever, whatever. I don't even know the lottery stuff because I don't gamble. The state says that I can gamble. However, God says I should be wise with my money, and so I choose not to gamble and choose not to be addicted to that whatsoever. Our law says that I can drive when I am 0.08 and under the legal limit of alcohol. However, I believe God's word tells me to be a man that avoids all appearance of evil. And so I choose not to drink whatsoever. And the state says this is what it is, but I choose differently. God's standard maybe raises me up a little bit. Our law says that if I'm 18, I can go out and I can buy, not only with a lottery ticket, I can buy a little pack about that big that costs between $5 and $7, and they usually have like 10 sticks in it, and then I can get me a little lighter and I can go ahead and smoke because I can do that because I'm over 18. However, I choose to see that the Word of God says that my body is filled with as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I choose to treat my body the best way that I can. I could go on. And there's other things that maybe you do, or maybe things that you disagree with, but here's the truth of the matter. Marriage is an institution that was set up by God, and regardless of laws that happen at our state or federal level, God's law supersedes. Let marriage be held in honor among all. I believe this. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. And if I may say, we've missed it in today's society. Just bunk up. Just live together. And some would even say, why do I need a little silly piece of paper? Because what does that really mean for marriage? Some of us don't honor marriage at all. Though agreements can be broken, when two people get married, they stand before God and a congregation, or at least two witnesses that say, you're going to be committed to one another. Now, again, I know in preaching this message, and I know as I look out around many of you, there are many different variety of flavors of all of this marriage stuff. Okay? I understand that. And I understand what God's Word says, and God's Word says we're supposed to honor marriage. And so I want you, when you leave today, to say, I want to honor marriage. Whatever stance that means going forward, I need to do what God's word says and honor marriage. If we have this concept of just bunking up, just living together, it really makes it quite awkward for the rest of us. Because, let me share a quick story. This has, I wasn't planning to do this, but it just came to me. Before Manel and I got married, she lived in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I lived in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And we would visit one another, but when we would visit one another, we didn't stay in the same place. We never did that. Well, that's not true. She was living at her parents' house, and I would stay at her parents' house, but her parents were in the house, of course. But I, as a single guy, stayed in Sioux Falls by myself. One time, she came up to visit me, and she went over to Marlon and Jane Van Pearsom's house to spend the night. But me being the gentleman that I am, I didn't make her drive over to Marlon and Jane's by herself. I went and I took her to Marlon and Jane's house. So guess what happens? Guess whose car is sitting out in front of my house all night long? Manel's. I personally didn't think anything of that because I thought, I'm totally above board. But my senior pastor came to me and said, somebody drove by your house and saw her car and wondered if she spent the night. he didn't doubt me whatsoever. He never questioned my integrity. Never. That wasn't even the issue. But he said, just avoid the appearance of evil and have her move her car. And I said, okay. And so we did that. Now, we could have snuck around and we could have hidden her car around the street the next time. We didn't choose to do that, okay? Here's what I'm just saying. When people shack up together without going through the cultural acceptable understandings of marriage, we never, what are you supposed to call that person? Is that person a boyfriend? Is that person a girlfriend? Is that person a fiance? Is that person a live-in? Who is that person? And then when there's family relationships that come together, you're like, well, is that person coming or not? Well, there is no question of whether I should go to a family gathering or not. If my wife's family says come, I mean, well, I don't know if I'm going to go or not. I don't know if this is one. No, I go. I mean, I'm a part of the family. I'm going to use the word intimate because of some young ears in the room, but Deuteronomy 22 tells us this. If a man was found intimate with a married woman, both would be put to death. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as is written, the two will become one flesh. Hear me in this, and I don't totally understand all of this, and I don't think you do either, but there is something that happens for two people that are bound intimately, if I can use that word, something that no scientist, biologist, or chemist can define. In a marital relationship, when there's things that happen in the married bed, there is something that happens that we don't even understand. But God's word says the two become one flesh. There is a binding in their lives. No one can explain it, but it's true. A scientist can't say, well, yeah, there's and maybe they could, maybe they, there's something happening in the mind. But how is this seen? Have you ever seen a lady that can't seem to rid herself of that man? Maybe you know this. Maybe you've seen this in your life. Like, well, how come she just can't get rid of that man? I mean, he treats her like junk. I mean, what's the problem here? I'll tell you why. It's the locking of fleshes together. Have you ever seen the man who goes back to that one lady again and again, or to many ladies? I truly believe this. It's because he's trying to find that feeling of oneness that happens in an intimate matter. And no one can explain it outside of God's word. There's connection that happens. And so here's what needs to happen. We need to honor marriage. Jerry and Pat Johnson are coming right now. They're going to sit in these chairs right here. Come on, come sit up here. I know there are other marriages that we could say that there is some honoring that needs to be done, but I've talked to these two, and I believe that they honor one another in their marriage. Again, now they're not the only ones in the room, so if you feel like you honor each other, please don't feel like, okay, I don't honor. No, you honor one another. Miss Pat has number one, and Mr. Jerry has number two, just so you know, Garrett. But here's what I've asked them. I've asked them, how do they honor one another in marriage? Because it says, here's what it says. Let marriage be held in honor among all. And so I asked them, Pat, how do you honor Jerry? Jerry, how do you honor Pat? And then how do you honor this marriage that you have of how many years? 48 and a half. So Jerry, you get to start first. How have you honored Pat in your marriage? Hold the microphone right up there so we can all hear you.
Well, first of all, I want a disclaimer here that I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything. We're just sharing. We're not making a guideline or anything or saying we're so much better than anybody. That's not the purpose. The purpose is for encouragement. I think the greatest way I can honor Pat is by not dishonoring her. And how I mean that is, one of the things that you see in some marriages is the putting down of each other publicly. And I don't feel that that's a good thing. And so I honor her by not dishonoring her, but I honor her because I made a commitment to her in 1969. And it wasn't just a piece of paper. It was a commitment, and it was for life, and God has honored that, and it's a spiritual thing as well as a physical thing, but God brought us together, and he's blessed us in so many ways that it's just amazing, but I honor her for being my wife. I'm just terribly proud of her.
Very good. Pat, how do you honor Jerry in your marriage? I'm backing up here because some people, I want them to see you instead of me, so you don't have to look at me, you can look at them.
See, now I thought that was the hard way to do it. I think I should say how Jerry honors me.
Yep.
Okay, that's my list. He's a good provider. He's a good decorator. He can see things that I can't see, and then we have fun getting in with it. He's always, we've always had two cars, so I can always have one at my disposal. Part of the time it was for work, but that's always been a priority. We figured it out so I could stay home when our kids were little, and that's the way he honored me and honored our family. It wasn't always easy, and money was really tight, but it was awesome. And he plans fun things to do, and we've had some fun times together. Our money is together, and there's never a problem if, I don't know, if I want to go out to lunch with my friends or I want to get a haircut or something, he doesn't give me an allowance and I don't have to worry if I'm spending too much unless the check balance is zero.
If I may interrupt, you probably need more haircuts though than your husband, right? Okay, keep going.
He honors me because he lets me do things that I like to do. I love working with kids. It's been my career. It's been my ministry. And even this week, Cubbies have made a creation book, and I could not work the paper punch. I used to wonder why my mother's hands didn't work. Now I know, because mine don't. I could not do the paper punch on my books, so he punched all the books. So you guys, when you get your books, thank Jerry. But he supports me and things like that.
Let me, if I may have liberty to say as well, there's two more ways that I see them honoring one another. We sat down the other day. One of those is, some of you know that Jerry is very good with wood, and if you haven't known this, the wood that's on the back of your chair is done by Jerry, with Jerry Edwards, who's not with us today, painting those. Jerry, in recent days, they moved houses. And so do you know where his shop is? In the two-car garage. That means that not necessarily every time, never does Pat get to park her car in the garage. And so because of that, they honor one another in that way. She could drive home every single day and say, beep, beep, clear the stuff out so I can get into the garage. But do you do that?
No.
No, because you honor him. Tell, how did you honor one another in the house thing? Talk about wanting to live in the hills, Jerry, and how you honor one another in that. Can you do that, please?
Okay. I don't know how many of you know, but all that remodeling and goings on down by the courthouse where the county is expanding, they bought the half a block on the south side of the courthouse, which is the half a block that we lived in. And if you go by there now, there's only one house left on that half block. But our house used to be in there. We lived there for 45 years. So it was kind of home for us. And it was special. We built things and all that kind of stuff. But we were, without going into all the details, we had to move. And our house was torn down eventually. And there's a whole lot of other stories with that. But in looking for another place to live, one of my dreams has always been that when the time came, it was right that we would build or buy a place up in the hills. And I've born here in Rapid, and I've lived here all my life, and the hills are home. I just love them. I love to hunt and hike and all that kind of thing. So that was a dream of mine. And when it came time to find another house, obviously that was, I thought, this is perfect. And yet Pat didn't share that same dream. That was my dream, not hers. And she had some convincing reasons why it shouldn't be. First it was because she worked as a teacher and would have to travel every day. And when you live in the hills, there's just no way to work in Rapid and live in the hills and not go up and down some kind of a hill somewhere. And of course, that's what I liked, was because then you can have a four-wheel drive and all that good stuff. But that was convincing. And then we went through a time with our parents where they were sick and in the hospital. And they had to give up their homes to move into assisted living or whatever. And if we're out in the hills, that makes doctor's appointments and all that kind of thing a real problem. So she had some really good points. So I don't take any great pride in it, but I gave up my dream. But my response to that giving up is that, okay, a place in the hills is my dream, but God's preparing me a better place. And it's going to be so much better than anything I could ever think of living in the hills. So I'll settle for God's best.
One of the things that you may know, if you talk to them further about this house thing, Jerry and Pat would both say they just saw God's hand leading them in that house thing. Now, if Jerry would have said, no, I'm going to hold on to this and I'm not going to honor my wife above all, then those things wouldn't have taken place. But you, if you chat with them further about it, they'll tell you almost financial numbers to the, yeah, just incredible how God worked. Thank you for honoring each other. Do you want to say anything else about how you honor your marriage?
Well, he did get his shop in the garage. But it's not about 50-50. It's not about keeping track of he did this, so I'll do this, or I'll do this because he did that. It's that we do it because we love each other.
Thank you.
Yes. We are committed to each other. I do love her a lot.
Yes.
And our two greatest accomplishments in this life are our two kids. Jeremy and Amber are a couple that have given us a family, grandchildren that we just love. And our daughter Julie and Ryan have given us a daughter through adoption that we just love.
Yeah.
And we love our family.
Yes, you do. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. So I sat down with them the other day and I asked them this question. I said, how, Dawn, do you honor Donna? Donna, how do you honor Dawn? Or how does your marriage honor one another? Because one of the concepts here, and some of you understand this, sometimes you honor your marriage together over other things that are going on. You ever made a hard decision where you said, you know what, I need to do this. We need to do this to honor our marriage and not be a part of this. And other people are like, oh, you missed out on a new account. And you're like, sorry, we needed to honor our marriage together instead of being a part of that. And so that's where this topic is going. So how do we honor marriage? I think maybe, Don, you're going to start, aren't you? So talk to them, hold that microphone up, and I'm going to sit over here so people over here can see you as well. How do you honor one another in marriage?
Well, just a little introduction. Pastor stole a little bit of my opening, but...
Sorry. Kind of.
We were married in 1957. As Pastor has indicated, we celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary right out here. Many of you came, and thank you for that. I wish you could have all been here. It was a wonderful time. I guess I'll turn it back to Donna about that time.
God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and that's from 2 Corinthians 6:14. It was important to me that when Don and I, that we were going together, that Don was a born-again Christian and had a relationship with Jesus. I'd accepted Jesus when I was 13 years old, and through a set of God-directed circumstances, Don was saved in the August of 1956. He proposed that December, and because he was a Christian, and I felt like that I could say yes, and so we were married then in 57. And I wanted you to know that, because honoring is a lot easier when you're both on the same page, and the marriage is honorable from the beginning.
As Pastor has read Hebrews 13:4, that first part says, marriage is honorable among all. And Pastor asked me if I would care to comment on this. How do I honor Donna? How does she honor me? How does our marriage honor us? How do we honor our marriage? I told him, I don't know what that means. So I checked different translations of the Bible. I have an app on my iPad that I can check every translation there is. I come up with nothing. I checked the dictionary. It said honor, but it didn't tell me what honor meant. And so then I asked others what they thought. Well, I told the pastor I didn't want to do it because I didn't know what it meant. Not that I was unwilling to do it, but I just couldn't translate it as to what. But you notice I'm up here. If you've ever had pastor ask you to do something and you say no, you'll wind up doing it. This isn't my first time. So when we were married, I vowed to love, honor, and respect. And Donna vowed to love, honor, and obey. Now, she'll tell you new, she never said obey, but I heard her. It was, you know, it was a long time ago, but. So I come up with the idea of respect. How do I respect her? But then I went on and I found examples. An honorable discharge, for instance. Honor an individual with a degree of some sort. And a recognition for something that people have done. So, after a lot of thought, as I said, I came up with respect. So how do I respect Donna? How do I respect her? How do I honor her? Well, first off, in thought, word, and deed. Mm-hmm. By holding her in high esteem, by placing her first, by letting her know that she's important to me. And Pastor talked with us the other day, and he said, well, how do I do that? You know, what? Give an example. So an example I came up with just off the top of my head, I can't think of any big things that we've done. I'm sure there's been things, but it's not only the big things, it's a compromise in small things. The example that just came to mind was, I wanted to run an errand. And if you know men, we go, we do what we have to do, and we get back. And I said, in a moment of weakness, I said, did you want to go along? Okay, I want to go here, I want to do this, I want to do that, and we'll stop over here, and I want to do this. And so, okay, we wound up doing that. And it's not a hard thing. Respect is simple. Another example was taking care of the kids when Donna needed to be gone. We had six kids, and it was a job taking care of six kids. But when she needed to be gone, when she needed a break, I didn't mind stepping in. And as I said, just respect.
How do I honor Don? It's not politically correct these days, but more important is being biblically correct. Praise is a part of honoring. I let Don know I think he's wonderful. I acknowledge his accomplishments. Compliments and thank yous are important. Spending time with Don is important. It's easier now because we spend most of our time together since he's retired. But when the kids were at home, a lot of times the only time we'd have to spend together is maybe a ride someplace in the car. But we enjoyed spending time together, and we still do. Don's my best friend. What I say or don't say to others is honoring or dishonoring. Especially when I was younger, I thought that when young wives got together, their favorite topic was all the bad things about their husband. Mm-hmm. And I never participated in that. I never felt that way. And I didn't want to dishonor Don by complaining about him. And berating and nagging is something that I have never done. I've never wanted to berate Don. I've never wanted to nag him. And I was always careful about what I said in front of the children. It was important that I told the kids they had a wonderful dad, and they did. Mm-hmm. Apologizing and forgiveness goes a long ways in marriage. And that's honoring. It's honoring to each other, and it's honoring to God. You apologize when you need to apologize, and you forgive when he asks forgiveness. And sometimes you forgive even when he doesn't ask. And I've learned to let Don be the spiritual leader in the home. This probably is a hard thing for a lot of people, but there are ways that God can teach you how you can step back and you can let your husband be the spiritual leader in the home. And I think that I've tried to do that.
One other thing that I noticed is that honor is given after it's earned. An honorable discharge comes only after satisfactory service is rendered. A degree is given after satisfactory completion of study. Recognition comes after a deed of some sort is done. I have to do my part to receive respect or honor. I have to earn respect. Even though Donna vowed to honor me, I have to earn that honor.
Our marriage is to be an earthly example of Christ and the church, Christ being the head and the church being Jesus' bride. It puts a lot of things in perspective, and I honor my husband as I would Christ. He has a greater responsibility to love me as Christ loved the church.
Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "And a threefold cord is not quickly broken, and the third strand of a cord in marriage is Christ." We had one of our sons. This was part of their wedding ceremony. And I think it's just a wonderful example. You have to have Christ in your marriage. You can't have a marriage without it.
Let marriage be held in high honor among all. Thank you, Jerry and Pat. I believe that when people honor each other in marriage, it will go far. But we've missed that in our culture. If you're married today, I want you to hear this. Honor your spouse. Find out what that means and honor them. Even when other people are saying, do it. It's what God's word tells us to do. There's like a B and a C part of the verse here that I need to touch on before we leave for the day. It says this, "Let marriage be held in high honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." Some of us might be like, well, I'm good here because I've never been outside of my home and done some things I shouldn't have done. And you might be saying, well, I'm okay. But here's what the Word of God says. Being intimate outside of a marriage relationship is a sin. Again, some of us are like, well, I've never done that. But here's what Matthew says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Men, be careful. Ladies, be careful. Be wise. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, I have to read all five verses because it kind of tells you what's happening. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, Arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, this goes along with what Pastor Bradley had to say, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. If you're a teen in the room, if you're a child in the room, if you're unmarried in the room, the word of God says to keep the marriage bed undefiled. This basically means do not be intimate with a member of the opposite sex until after you have committed yourself at the marriage altar. And then it says this, God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. I do not stand before you today as a judge. I stand before you as merely a proclaimer of the word of God. And you don't need to stand before some others and say, well, you know what you're doing is sin. That's not your job. The word of God says, God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Don't be the judge. When you see some people that are doing something wrong, you commit that to the Lord in prayer. If they come to you and ask you and say, well, do you think what I'm doing is right? Well, then they open the door for you to say, hey, let me share with you Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Why don't you just take that home and read it and let God do that. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says this, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. I encourage you, don't worry about this one. Let God take care of this one. He doesn't need your help in this one. He will take care of that one. One of the things that I think is one of the greatest honors that you can give to a spouse is to pray for your spouse. Some of you do this, some of you don't do this. If you're married in the room, pray for your husband, if you're a lady. If you're a guy, pray for your wife. I'll just make that statement. You need to do that. I encourage you to pray with your wife out loud. Ladies, I encourage you to pray for your husband out loud. Now, don't do this. Lord, I pray that you be with Manel today. Help her to figure it out. Does that help? No, it doesn't help. And so I'm going to extend to you an offer today. I was given this book, and there's two books. One of them is The Power of a Praying Wife, and the other one is The Power of a Praying Husband. Sometimes we don't really know what to pray about, and I've not even read the wife's book, so I'm assuming it's very similar. But in the man's book, it has exactly what to pray for your wife on. You can read a little bit, and then you pray about some interesting things to pray about. For the man, it's about her emotions, about her fears, about her priorities, her beauty, her desires, her deliverance. There's a number of things. You can grab one of these at the information desk. If you want to pay $10 for one, feel free to do that. But if you don't have $10, grab one of these. If you have another prayer thing that you already do, great. But sometimes some of us need a little push to say, you need to be praying for your husband. You need to be praying for your wife. How do you pray for them? Do you really earnestly pray for them? I truly believe this. The enemy wants nothing more than to break up our marriages. He wants to divide husband and wife. Maybe even on your way in this morning, if you're married, you're like, wow, that was a tough ride in the car. I hope Pastor Steve doesn't talk about marriage today because it won't be good. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. I think it'll go a long ways in honoring your marital spouse. And hear me in this. If you are in an incorrect physical relationship with someone, you need to look at God's word today. You need to confess of that, and you need to find redemption in him. And I believe that he'll provide for you in a mighty, mighty way. But you need to start there at the cross with Jesus Christ. Let marriage be held in honor among all. and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer today? As you bow your heads and you close your eyes, I'm going to do this as well, but if you're married, I want you to grab your spouse's hand, because we're praying about godly marriage. I would love for our church to be one that they would say, man, they really uplift marriage, and there's some wonderful marriage there. I know not everybody's married in the room, but someday you may be, and so you ask the Lord for your help, for his help as well. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for what you talk about in your word. You talk about us as the bride of Christ. And someday you're going to come back and you're going to receive us. And you do not want us to be spotted. And so, Lord, as we think of that concept within Scripture, I pray that you would watch over each and every marriage in the room. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for the wives that are represented. I thank you for the husbands that are represented. And I pray that we would honor each other among all. God, be with some of us as men in this room that need to ask for forgiveness, that need to go a different direction, that have just been mean and nasty and rude. I pray that you would convict us to be humble servants of yours. Lord Jesus, I pray for the ladies in this room, the wives. Thank you for who they are, and there's been some wives that need to ask for forgiveness. They've done some erroneous ways or have said some things that they shouldn't have said. And so, Lord, I pray that they would ask for forgiveness. I pray that you would be with each marriage here as they walk out of the room today, that they would just sense your presence of your love. Thank you for you setting up marriage and how wonderful it is and how we can have children from that and grandchildren and many things. And so, Lord, I pray that you would watch over the marriages that are represented here. Lord, I pray for some individuals who might find themselves in a little uncomfortable setting right now because of what your word says. And I ask that they would know that you are a redemptive Lord and that you, when you forgive sins, you forgive them as far as the east is from the west. And so may we be ones that would honor your word. And then Lord Jesus, I pray for each individual that's not married in this room. It could be a child, it could be a teen, it could be a young adult, it could be an older person. Those who you have designed to be married somewhere on the way, I pray that they would be kept pure until that wedding day. Help them to make wise and right decisions. They wouldn't find themselves in compromising places, and that they would stand strong for you according to your word. In a culture that is full of debauchery, I pray that they would just say no to that, and that they would honor you and honor that future spouse. So Lord, go before us today. Give us your strength. Thank you for your word. May we love you and honor you with everything we say and do. May you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.